Blog Talk Radio.
Good Apostle.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Come by and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. Well, God is good. He's a wonderful God. I'm telling you, he's always good. He's just a good God. And I'm so grateful for, I thank God for Apostle Hunter and the great work that he's doing. God bless you, Apostle Hunter, you and your family, and may he bless all the work of your hands. And I thank God for all those who are listening all around the world. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 37. Let's jump back and let's jump right into the Word of God that has the power to change your life. Psalm 37. Verses 1 through 8. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We're going to stop right there, and I'll read the other scriptures later. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily. Look at that word right there, verily. That Hebrew word for verily is emunah, emunah, and it means secure, security. That's what it means, security. It means truly, steady, truth, stability. And so the message God has given me for you tonight is how to be secure. How to be secure. I don't know about you, but I want to be secure. Women like being secure. Men like being secure. But a lot of folks are placing their security in the wrong things. 501k and, you know, stocks and bonds and, you know what, making investments on Wall Street and all types of things. They're putting their security in the wrong things. I remember Solomon said, vanity, vanity. He said, it's all vanity. He had all those concubines and all those wives, and he was had all that wealth. And he was saying, apart from God, it's all vanity, vanity and vexation. That's what Solomon said. It's all vanity. It's worthless and meaningless. We can't place our security in those things. The things are good when we have them and when we handle them and see them in the right perspective. Things are good, but we shouldn't place our security in those things. Our security is in God. Yud Heh Vav Heh. Yahweh, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's where our security is. And the scripture says right here in Psalm 37, verse 3, the scripture says, when you trust in the Lord and do good, you will dwell in the land. You'll enjoy all the good things that the land produces. You'll enjoy it, and verily, thou shalt be fed. That word verily is talking about security. You shall be fed. You can be secure in that. That when you, number one, trust in the Lord and do good, there lies your security. There lies your security. God is a jealous God. You're not going to have any security in anything else. Matter of fact, you shouldn't put your security in anything else. Because you won't have it long if you whatever you're putting your security in, you won't have it long. You won't have it long. God is a jealous God. And he said he'll have no other God before him. No other. He's a jealous God. He'll tear up some stuff. He'll tear up some stuff. You begin to put things, and I remember in the Bible, he was causing those false gods. He caused one false god's head to fall off. Dagon, I believe, if I'm not sure, but it was a false god. God is a jealous God. He'll have you have no security and no one but him. And so we're talking about how to be secure. How can you have security in life? Well, number one, by trusting in the Lord and doing good. Trusting in the Lord and doing good. That's what we have to do. And not being led by and ruled by your emotions. You know, your emotions are up and down. Your emotions, they're up one day and down the other day. You can't even be ruled by your emotions. You can't put your security in your emotions or your money or your wealth or anything else. Your security must be in God. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your path. Then, Lord, and do good. That's where you'll have security. The scripture says, thou shalt be fed. You'll be taken care of, in other words. That word fairly right there, underlined it. And M-U-N-A, and it means security. You'll have security. You shall be fed. You shall be taken care of. When you what? Back up in your seat. Trust in the Lord and do good. Thou shalt dwell in the land. Thou shalt. That's security. And verily, thou shalt be fed. That's security. You'll be well taken care of. God takes care of his own. You'll be taken care of. You'll have the security that you want in life, sister, brother. You'll have the security in life when you trust in the Lord and do good. Now, what actually does that word security mean? It means to be safe. It means to be protected. We all want to be safe, and we all want to be protected. You'll have that confidence. You won't be in a state of fear. You'll have that confidence that you're safe and you're protected. When you have the best security alarm that money can buy? No. When your security is in God, the angel of the Lord. You must believe the angel of the Lord is encamped around about those who what? Fear God, reverence God. Reverence God. One way that you can reverence God, respect God, is by trusting in God and doing good. And the scripture says in Psalm 37, verse 3, and you shall dwell in the land, be taken care of by the land. God will take care of you. He'll cause the land to produce, and you shall be fed. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. God says you'll be safe and you'll be protected. You'll be fed. You'll be well taken care of. You'll be secure, number one, when you trust in God and do good. Number two, we're talking about how to be secure. How can I be secure? Number one, by trusting in the Lord and doing good. Number two, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll take care of even the things that you desire. You can be secure in that. You'll be secure. When you delight yourself in the Lord. That word delight, it means to be pliable in the hands of God. When you allow God to make of you, to do with you what he wants to do with you, he'll even give you the desires of your heart. You'll be secure. He'll give you what you need, but not only will he give you what you need, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Look at Psalm 37 and look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? The desires of your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. When you what? When you're secure in him. When you trust in him and do good, and when you delight yourself in him, when you allow him to mold you into the person he wants you to be, when you allow him to have his way in your life and make you the person he wants you to be, he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's security. That's security right there. I try to figure out any other kind of way to get to the desires of your heart. All you got to do is let God have his way with your life. He'll automatically, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And look at verses 1-6. God wants to have his way in your life. Don't buck God. Don't go out and try to do your own thing. Find out what God wants you to do and do that. And you'll find security. You'll find security when you do that, when you delight yourself in him. Let him make you, mold you, and make you into the person he wants you to be. There lies your security. Don't you know when you allow God to do with you what he wants you to do, that you can't even die? Nothing or no one can even kill you. When you have purpose, when you're carrying out God's purpose, you can't even get killed. I remember Apostle Paul. He was on the ship to Rome, and he was on a mission from God. And a storm, a major storm came up at sea. And Paul was on the ship, and all the other people were on the ship, and they were afraid for their life. Thought they were going to die. But an angel came to Paul by night and said, Paul, I'm going to save you and everybody that's with you on the ship, because you must get to Rome. Paul was on a mission. Storm couldn't even take him out. He said, all would be lost, but I'm going to keep all you and everyone on the ship alive. And sure enough, the storm tore up the ship, but Paul was kept alive because he was on a mission from God. You can't even die when you're in the purpose of God, when you're allowing God to do what he wants to do with your life. You can't even die. The devil can't even kill you. Nothing can even take you out. You see, because being in the purpose and the will of God is the safest place to be. You're secure, you're safe, and you're protected. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, chapter 18, verses 1-6. The word of the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. God told Jeremiah, I want to talk to you about some things. I'm having a little trouble with you, and I need to clear up some things with you, Jeremiah. Because I need to clear up things with you, because, you know, I don't need you bucking me and going against what I want you to do. So I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I'm going to cause you to hear my words. Verse 3 says, then I went down to the potter's house. Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and behold, the potter was working a work at the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. You see, the clay is not in charge, but the potter is in charge. Now, God is showing something to Jeremiah. God is saying, Jeremiah, I'm showing you this so you can hear what I'm saying. Oh, glory to God. You can hear God by what he shows you. Oh, glory to God. You got to watch what you're seeing throughout the day. Watch what God is showing you throughout the day. That's him talking to you. You can hear God by what he shows you. Has God been showing you something lately? If he's been showing you something lately, he's talking to you, and you need to hear what he's saying to you. He said, and the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So the potter, he made another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter did with the clay? saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God is the potter, and you and I are the clay. And what God is saying in these scriptures, he's saying that we need to let him make of us what he wants us to be. We need to let him mold us into the person he wants us to be. Stop bucking God. Paul bucked God for a while. His name was Saul at the time. And the Lord says, Saul, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to kick against the prick. It's hard to buck and fight with God. We need to agree with God. We need to allow God to make us into what he wants us to be. We need to let him mold us and shape us. Follow the direction of the Lord. Follow the leading of God. Live for God and not for your own selfish purposes and reasons. How to be secure? Number one, you're going to be secure when you trust in the Lord and do good. Number two, you're going to be secure when you delight yourself in the Lord. Let him make you into the person he wants you to be. And he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. I bless you. I bless you, son, daughter. I bless you, daughter, when you allow me to make you the person I want you to be, when you allow me to use you in the way that I want you to be used. Number three, you'll be secure when you trust in the Lord and do good. Number two, when you delight yourself in the Lord. And number three, when you commit your course of life unto the Lord. When you commit your course of life unto the Lord. What do I mean by that? You need to run everything by God before you take out and start any project, before you do anything. You need to run it past God. You need to say, God, is this okay if I do this? Is it all right if I do this? You know, so many times, you know, what we take out and start things and do things and we expect God to help us, but God never told us to do it. We need to run everything by God. He's the CEO. He's our God and Lord. We need to run everything by him. That's what it means to commit your course of life unto the Lord. That word, commit. Commit is galal in Hebrew, galal. And it's a picture of one rolling oneself upon the Lord and just trusting in the Lord. Here you go, God. I'm giving myself to you. And here you go. Do with me what you want to. I trust you. I'm committing my life to you. And that's what God wants us to do. Galal is the Hebrew word for commit, galal. And it's the picture of one rolling oneself upon the Lord and trusting in him. We need to trust in him, commit our course of life. That's why he said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Whatever you plan on doing in life, you need to acknowledge God. God, this is what I plan on doing. Is this okay? I'll do it if you want me to do this, Lord, but if you don't want me to do it, I won't do it. See, that's how you find security in God, is by committing your course of life unto the Lord. Not taking out and just doing any and everything that you want to do before checking with God. God wants us to check with him. Check in with God. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and then he says, I'll direct your path. And you know, he's not going to direct you wrong. He's going to lead you to success. That's security. Oh, glory to God. That's security right there. How to be secure? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be pliable in the hands of God, like putty, like clay. Let him make of you what he want to make of you. Commit your course of life unto the Lord on everything that you plan on doing. Check with him first. Make sure it's okay. Look at verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Number 4, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's the safest thing to do. You can be secure when you do that. When you what? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked vices to pass. What do? Rest in the Lord and do what? Wait patiently for him to act, for him to move. That Hebrew word rest is damam. Damam is the Hebrew word for rest, and it means to be still. Sometimes we're going to find our security in what? Resting and waiting. Oh, glory to God. What now? Resting and waiting. The word rest in Hebrew is damam. It means to be still. It means to stop. It means to be silent. It means to cease from doing anything. Rest and wait patiently on the Lord. Look and expect and wait for him to move. Wait to hear from him. Wait for him. Rest. Be still. Stop. Be silent. Cease. We don't even always have to be doing something all the time. Sometimes he'll just tell us, be still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Be silent. Stop everything. That's why we need to have time alone with ourselves. We need to have some silent time. Just us and you and God. Have some silent time so we can hear God. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn off the telephone. We've got to spend time alone with God. You know, Yeshua, he went out to the garden and prayed and talked to the Father. He spent time alone. It's good to rest and be still, stop, be silent, cease from doing anything. Demand and wait patiently for the Lord. And you can be secure. God's not going to lead you wrong. Psalm 4:4. Listen to what Psalm 4:4 says. Psalm 4:4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. See, there's a time when we need to commune with what God is saying to us in our heart, upon our, even in bed. We need to be still. And that's sometimes that's the best time to hear from God. Even before you get up out of bed, be still. Commune with God. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Rest and wait patiently for God. We don't always have to be doing something. We think that we have to be productive. We think sometimes that we always have to be doing something. You can be productive and at most productive when you're being still and silent and listening and hearing what God has to say to you. That's what Habakkuk said. He said, I will stand on my watch and wait and hear what the Lord has to say to me. Isn't that what Habakkuk said? See, and that's what we need to do sometimes. We need to be still and listen and wait and to hear what God is saying to us. Glory to God. How to be secure. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be pliable in the hands of God. Commit your course of life unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Rest and wait. That word rest means to be still, be silent, stop. That's what Habakkuk said in Habakkuk chapter 2. He said, verse 1, he said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. Sometimes we have to stand and wait for what God for God to speak to us. What is he going to say to us? Wait. Be still. Rest. Be silent. Stop. Cease from everything. Damam, Hebrew word for rest. Damam. That's where we find our security at. Too many times we jump out and we just want to do things, and then we expect for God to prop it up. Make it work, God. But we never ran it by God. We never checked with God first. There's no security in that. You're on your own. I'm on my own. When we strike out on our own, before checking with God, we're on our own, and there's no security in that. So if things don't work out right, we can't blame it on God. We need to check with God first before we do anything. And we need to rest in the Lord and be silent and listen what he has to say. And then do what he has to say. How to be secure. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Become pliable in the hand of God. Let him make you what he wants you to be. Commit your course of life unto the Lord. Check in with him before you set out to do anything. And number four, rest in the Lord. Be still. Damam, be still. Stop. Be silent. And see what he wants you to do. See what he has to tell you. See what he has to show you. Cease from everything. Have some quiet time. Go in your closet. Talk to him and commune with your heart and listen to what he's saying to you on your bed as you're resting. And that's how to be secure in God. Apostle.
Praise the living God. God is so good. His mercy endures forever. Now, I tell you, when you got to Jeremiah, you just got to, I said, wow, Jeremiah 38, you know, how to be successful. We got to listen what God is saying to us. Tonight's the night that we just want to thank God. And I believe we have our beloved pastor, William Irwin. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Dr. Newsom, I'll tell you what, that was powerful. I mean, that was powerful. Listening
Praise
to that,
God.
what you just spoke. I mean, I don't think there's a person in the world that I mean, even a lot of the ministers that are struggling right now and under demonic attacks, because we know it's the end time. We know that we're the shepherds and trying to bring forth the flock and bring them into the kingdom of heaven, and Satan is coming against us in many mighty ways. And I know there's a lot of ministers that are struggling out there and I know that there's some out there that are trying to build themselves up, you know, and trying to build a ministry. And God spoke to me a little bit about that. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to criticize anything, but it's something that we need to watch and be careful of. It's like when that of Cain and Abel, where Abel's fruit was accepted unto the Lord more so than what Cain was. And God spoke to me very clearly. He sat there and he's all for building the kingdom. But those who are building a kingdom unto themselves and bringing it in as a glory unto the Lord, we got to be very careful on that because we're showcasing ourselves and saying, look what we did. And he spoke very plainly on that to me the other night when I was in prayer. And that's something that we need to be very careful of. It's because it's not our kingdom, it's his kingdom. And we're just the shepherds. And as long as we're following after the word of God and we're we're following after and doing what he has called us to do, the sheep will follow because he hears the voice of the Father. He hears, and that Father is that God will speak through each and every one of the pastors that they will hear his word and will
Amen.
Go forth and follow. So that was just saying, you know, we need to be very careful as we're building our ministries and stuff, that it's not, hey, look what I've done and look what I'm doing and anything like that, because I don't really think that's, I mean, I can't speak for God, don't get me wrong, but clearly we're doing that. If they're doing that, you're doing it for yourselves, and you're not doing it for the kingdom of heaven. You're doing it for your own glory, and God speaks very plainly on that. But other than that, I just had to need to get that off. I didn't need to get that out there. But praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Newsom, this is awesome. I was just sitting there because even myself, I've been struggling in a lot of areas and stuff like that. And thank you, because it brought back some memories of things that I need to do. And that's because I've been doing a lot of busy work, and we can get lost in our busy work and not really start listening to the Lord. So, well, praise God, I appreciate that one. I really do. I'll take that one. I'll take that one to the bank.
Glory to God, Pastor. Glory to God. Thanks for the encouragement. Glory to God.
Yeah, amen, amen, you know. And you know, as long as everybody who would do those things and they would, you know, admit to themselves that these things we need to do, and God will glorify us, you know, and he'll sit there and say, well, you know, you're not all that too big that you can't be taken down a notch, and you're not that far down that I can't raise you up, you know. So
right.
God bless, you know. So God bless on all that. So, but you know, like I said, the ministers and the churches are coming under a severe attack. We even see them again today in France, where a priest was killed by somebody, slit his throat, you know. And then we're seeing the churches, and we're seeing a lot of different things. We're seeing the Antichrist raising up, and we need to stand fast. We need to stand fast and build our brothers and sisters up in Christ, and not tear them down. We need to begin to start speaking the word of God. We need to be able to stand firm. And like you said, Apostle Newsom, you sat there and you said, you know, we need to get silent with ourselves and start listening to God and listening to the direction he wants to take us, because we're getting close. We can see it. We see it every day. We're seeing all the attacks in France. We're seeing it here in the United States. We're seeing it in Germany. And it's just increasing. And God spoke about that. He said it's going to get worse. So just something for all the ministers and those that are, don't give up right now. Don't give up and continue on doing what God has called you to do, and continue to work what God has called you to work. You know, about 8-10 years ago, I had a pastor friend of mine. I was up in North Carolina ministering with him. He says, I'm tired of pulling the plow. And I said, well, Donnie, I said, that's your problem. I said, you're pulling the plow. I said, you need to stand behind it and let the Lord pull it. That's what we need to do. We just need to continue to work what God has called us to work at, and do what God has called us to do, and be able to sit there and recognize the fact that it's his glory that that he has put in us that is to shine. It's not our glory to outshine his. And we need to be able to sit there very, very patiently. I'm still sitting there at times waiting for doors to open and looking for increase, and you know, it seems like it's hard coming, but you know, pressing in and staying with it. But I realize, even at working with my hands and doing the things I'm doing, the progress, and lighting and seeing the different parts of the ministry that I'm touching, You know, God gives us a nugget every once in a while and says, well, look what you've done. You don't worry about what you're doing. Look what you've done. But don't glorify yourself in that. Just keep going, because I got more things for you to do and greater things to do. And a lot of people sit there, a lot of people take that and figure, well, I'm going to have a mansion, and I'm going to have be rich, and I'm going to have, and maybe that's not what God intended for you to do. But what he intended for you to do is to continue to build the kingdom, to continue to plow the fields and plant the seeds and water and prune. And, you know, sometimes we plant seeds, and sometimes we realize that we had to prune somebody. And sometimes we are out there and we have to realize we have to cultivate somebody. And then there's other times we have to water them. And then once in a while we get the fruit of it. You know, but it's nothing that we planted, nothing that we pruned, nothing that we cultivated, nothing that we done. It might be something that I planted, and Apostle Newsom, he watered, and Dr. Hunter, he pruned, and someone else came along and did something, and someone else came along and did something, and all of a sudden someone else comes along and picks the fruit. But that's okay, because
Amen.
we're all in this together. You know, David got in trouble for taking a census. It's not our place to take a census. It's how many we've led to the Lord, or how many we did to this, or how many we did to that. It's not our count. That's God's count. All we got to do is continue to do what he's called us to do.
Amen.
And sit there and preach the word of God and be able to sit there and tell people that's our commission. That's telling about Jesus, what he's done for us in our lives. You know, our greatest testimony is not sitting there and in all respect, knowing the Bible inside and out, back and front, and upside down, left to right. Because when it comes right down to it, we can't really, in all respect, and I want to be careful what I want to say here, we can't, in all respect, defend God. I know others, they say, yeah, well, we read that too, and so on and so forth. You know, God doesn't need to be defended on that part. He needs you to understand what you read. But what he sits there and he says, he called us to do for a testimony unto the Lord. And that is what he has done to us, through us, for us, and to do the things that we're doing and the reason why we're doing them. That is a greater testimony than it is to sit there and recite the Bible back and forth, inside out, and left to right, or upside down, or whatever will show you the best way you can speak of the Word of God, because it's our testimony, and nobody can dispute our testimony.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Nobody can sit there and dispute what God has done for you or for me or for anyone else. So I know there's people out there that are struggling. They're sitting there and they make a mistake and trying to say something about the in the Word of God and something else. And then somebody might be a little bit more up on it and that still is not convinced that Jesus is real, but because they read it, they understand, they look at it. They really haven't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because they're constantly trying to pick the book apart, and they're constantly trying to look for excuses. And actually, if you want to, you can go to John 10. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Those
That's
people
right.
who sit there and figure they're going to come in because they have knowledge, because they understand, they read the Bible, and they understand all this stuff, and they can sit there and they say, well, I've done this and I've done that. God calls them a liar, because there's only one way, and that's through Jesus, because Jesus
That's right.
says, I am the door, I am the truth, and I am the life. And without me, there is no entering into the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
And so, you know, like I said, I mean, I've met people out there. I mean, I can call people up and I say, hey, where does it say in the Bible this or that? And they can say, well, it's Leviticus 6:3, or it's John 9, or it's this or that, and quote it chapter and verse. And I said, well, thank you. But you know what? They still don't have the Spirit of God in them, but they read the Bible. And they will argue you back and forth and left and right and every upside down into the Word, but they don't have it in their heart.
Woo! Wow.
So I've met a lot of people like that. You know, I travel a lot, which you guys know, and I minister a lot. And I don't know why it is the Lord has me in places where He has me, but I imagine it's His plan. It's not mine. So like
yeah.
I say,
amen.
You know, so amen, amen. So you know, there's times where it's hard, and it's sometimes it's lonely, and sometimes it gets disheartening. But you know, like you said, if we sit there and be still and listen to the Lord and wait on Him, and He continues to pave and make a way, and He continues to bless us, you know. And sometimes the blessings are blinding. We don't really see it, and we don't understand it until we either missed it or we walked through it and gone, oh, whoa, you know what? That's kind of cool. You didn't even realize that you're walking in the blessing of God.
Yes,
you know,
hallelujah.
We were looking for something different. You can't continue to look for something different. All you can do is just trust God and walk in faith and believe and understand and just trust Him.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing else I can say but just to trust Him and receive Him. And His word is gospel. And His word not just reading the Bible, but His word is what He's made His promise to you, what He said He will do for you. And what He said He can do for you. There's a difference between what He will do for you and what He can do for you. Because what you can't receive if you don't belong. And if you don't belong, how do you expect to get to where you want to go? Because you're out of God's will.
Yes.
You're out of His heart. Not out of His sight, but as far as he's concerned, he, you know, well, go over there and you keep on playing in the orchard over there, you know, with all the dead branches, because I got a field over here. It's ripe and ready to pick. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful, you know. Like I said, and the main thing is you know, so many people. We witnessed to a girl up in Sturgis 1 year. And Motorcycle Ministry, they got a house up there, and they put tents out in the yard for all the motorcycles. Guys are up there drinking and doing everything else. And the police pick these guys up, and they bring them over to the house. And we got, like I said, we had tents out in the yard, and they dropped these guys off that were drunk, and we'd give them coffee and let them sleep it off in the tents and feed them maybe breakfast or lunch or dinner or whatever. The police did that because they didn't. Otherwise, their jails would be so full that they couldn't do anything with the real criminals that needed to be put in there and locked up, you know. And so they didn't want them guys to be on their motorcycles getting killed on the highway. So we offered that service to the police to just bring them over and we'll take care of them and you know, sober them up. And we got the ministering to this one girl because the police brought her over. And we had her almost convinced until she sat there and she says, but if I give up my life, I won't be me anymore. She had no understanding that she didn't have to give up herself or give up her true identity as to who she was. God was trying to bring her the identity that he had in her at birth. and not of the world, but of what he had for her. And she got up and finally walked out. But we ministered to her for four or five hours and had her almost convinced. But she just couldn't press in that take that extra step. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, so did we lose her? Or maybe somewhere down the road that someone else, Dr. Newsom maybe caught her up on the road somewhere and ministered to her and received the blessing of what everybody else had planted in her. Now, I'm just using it as a metaphor, more or less. You know, I'm not saying that you did, but we don't know. We don't know. You know, all we can do is just continue to work and do the things that God has called us to do. And, you know, and we put our glory down and we raise up the Lord's glory, because when we raise up the standard of God, he raises our standards up, and we don't have to glorify ourselves, because we can't even begin to glorify ourselves as much as what God can glorify us. You know, so like I said, I got some things I got coming up. I got to minister to some pastors that are falling into this trap. And some of them are hurting, and they can't understand why. They can't understand why these things are coming about. And mainly it's because they've separated themselves from the Lord, saying, well, you know, I'll push the plow instead of standing behind the plow. I want to glorify God, but I'll do it in my way. I will build a ministry. Well, we can't build a ministry, but God will
That's
build
right.
a ministry for us. If we have one person in the pews, and that's the only one we have, if we minister to that person may walk out of your church and enter into a kingdom that he would have 30,000-40,000 people in his ministry. We don't know. I mean, it's
yes.
like I said one time before. I said, you know, we all know who Billy Graham is, and we all know who C.L. Lewis is, and we all know who these other great ministers in the past are, but we don't know who led them to the Lord.
Amen.
We don't know. We don't know who led them to the Lord. They could have
That's
been
right.
a street evangelist speaking out to somebody on the street that led
That's
one
right.
of those ministers to the Lord. We don't know.
That's
you know,
right.
Like I said, so if God's got you outside the four walls and you're not understanding why you're stuck in a beaten down, run down motel room and just at wit's end and lost. Maybe because God wants you to meet somebody there. If you can't
Amen.
Understand why your truck's broke down, your car's broke down alongside the road, and you have no money in your pocket, and you're wondering, what am I doing here? What am I? You told me to go out, and you told me to go, and I went, and now I'm stuck out like this. Well, while you're complaining, you're missing the opportunity that God has for you to minister to
yeah.
somebody.
Amen.
You're missing the opportunity that God has for you that will glorify him, that will glorify you.
Yes, sir.
We can't, when we're murmuring and complaining, we can't hear from God.
That's right.
We can't see what God wants for us to do. We can't hear him speaking to our hearts because we're too
Amen.
Busy murmuring about, well, why am I stuck out in this place? What is going on here? You know, I could have been better off if I would have done this and da 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 da. You know, I could have been on a sea cruise. Da 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 da. You know, going on. It's not our judgment. It's not our call. It's what God has called us to do.
That's right.
Paul was in a shipwreck. He got bit by a serpent. All the other disciples. We're martyred for the kingdom of heaven, you know. And there's other people who's been stuck out, who's been put out, who's set out, who's been drifted in the ocean for weeks at a time. There's many people that come back with stories that that fell off a ship or something like that and got picked up three or four weeks later, and they had a run-in with the Lord. So, you know, maybe it's your turn right now. I don't know if you're listening to where you're at, and you're listening right now, and you're wondering, why am I here? Well, just sit down and begin to listen to the Lord, because he's got you in a place where he wants you right now. Because you wouldn't listen to him while you're driving down up and down the highways. You weren't listening to him when you had the house and you had all the other stuff going on. You didn't listen to him when your business was going good. You didn't listen to him when everything else was going. Now he's got you in a place. Now it's time to sit there and hunker down and listen to what he has to say. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Maybe I'm speaking to myself. I don't know, but I'm just saying we need to sit there and stop everybody. And I don't care if you're trying to build a ministry or if you're doing the will of God and God is blessing you mightily and left and right. And he, you know, we still need to stop and we still need to hear from the Lord. We still need to sit there and concentrate on his will and not our will. You know, we want to build a church and we want to put an extension on. Well, we want marble countertops and we want gold-plated faucets and we want, you know, all that decorative stuff. But you know what? How much better that would have been if you would have taken that same energy and poured it into the congregation and tried to bleed the congregation.
Amen.
God's got you in a place right now, each and every one of us, that you're stifled, you're in a place. Like I said, the enemy is coming, and he's coming faster, and he's getting stronger, and he's getting bigger, and he's getting more and more aggressive. And so we need to be able to sit there in order to weather the storms that are going to come. We need to be prepared. Yep. The only way we can be prepared is where God has got you right now to stop what you're doing and listen. Because you're going to need what he has for you in order to get through this, in order to get your sheep through that gate, through this time, without losing them, without them scattering. We need to sit there now more than ever to really listen to God and the direction that he wants us to go, not the direction that we want to take, church, not the direction that we want to go, not that hey, I want to go to Miami. Because, and he says, no, you need to go to Nebraska. you need to right now more than ever, because of the attacks that are coming against the world, against the nation, against our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And it makes no difference. You know, there's a lot of even Muslims out there. There's a lot of Hindu. There's a lot of everything else. A lot of them, we're all men and women. We're all created by God, and we all have a desire just to live, to enjoy life. And yet with all this demonic and all these other religious organizations and all these other things that are bent on destroying any kind of decent livelihood, any kind of a decent life for revenge or for whatever cause it is that they have, even if it's just to hold everybody under their thumb. You know, Jesus never did that. He just gave us a word and a direction on how to live and a way to live. To be able to love one another, live in peace, and enjoy and commune with one another. You know, like I said, so right now we need to sit there and begin to listen and begin to speak God's word without fear, without judgment, and begin to speak his word that he has put into your heart, that he has in your mind, that he has given you, and begin to speak that word, because somebody needs to hear it. Plain.
Amen.
They need to hear it now. And they need to hear it now. Because like I said, we can see it, that the days are coming, and the enemy is getting stronger, getting bold, and we need to be able to sit there and withstand what is coming. And God is lifting up, and he's looking for leaders. He's not looking
Amen.
For naysayers. He's looking for leaders.
Amen.
So that's about all I have for you guys tonight. I don't know how much time I got left, but praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
So
you got 5 more minutes.
What's that?
5 more minutes.
5 more minutes? All right. Well, you know, I want to do right now, I just, Apostle Newsom, if you want to just pray for these, for the ministers, and then maybe somebody else wants to join in, we'll just finish it out in prayer. So if you'd like to start it.
Okay. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for that powerful message, Lord God, that you gave us through Pastor Irving, Father God, and continue to bless his ministry. Bless him, Father God. Uphold him, Father God, spiritually, physically, financially, socially. Bless him in every area of his life, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for the message you've given us tonight through Pastor Irving, Father God. Bless him big time. Open up more doors for him. Give him, let him hear you crystal clear even more, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And give him everything that he needs, Father God, and bless him with the desires of his heart. And, Father God, I want to say thank you, Father God, for Apostle Hunter, Father God. Thank you for this great work that you're doing through him, Father God. Thank you for this the open door opportunity, Father God, that he's given us, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for using this man of God, this great man of God, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Bless Apostle Hunter's life and his family's life, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And just bless them big time, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless both of them, Lord God, and satisfy them with long life. Let them live 120 years if that's their desire, Father God. As long as they want to live, let them live prosperous and healthy and strong, Father God. And Father God, any minister that may be listening right now, bless them, Father God. Prop them up. Encourage. Thank you for encouraging them tonight, Father God. Bless them. Meet every need. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Father, right now, Lord, for those who are hurting in the ministry, Lord, right now, that you would take that hurt from them, Lord, that you begin to build them up, put joy into their lives again, Lord. And Lord, let them become the leaders that you called them to be, Father. Give them the strength and the courage. I know, Lord, right now, at times, right now, as hard as it may seem to be in their lives, Lord, that there's a windows of opportunity for them, Lord. And it's not just a financial opportunity, but it's an opportunity to shine for the kingdom of heaven, Lord. Lord, right now, just whoever it is, just touch them right now, Lord. Just touch their family, touch their home. The enemy is attacking, Lord, that is attacking the church all over the world, Lord. Just bless them right now, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord, as we encourage them right now, Lord. Whoever it may be, whoever is hearing, Lord, if even at best, if they're hearing, Lord, and they need to be able to speak these words to someone else, Lord, Father, give it into their hearts, give it into their spirit, Lord, and give them the boldness and the courage to be able to do it, Lord. Father, I ask you just touch Dr. Newsom right now, Lord, and his ministry, Lord, and his family, Lord, they keep him strong, Lord, keep him bold, Lord, for his teaching, Lord, his words that go forth, Lord, that are from you, Lord, and he's a blessing, Lord, to everyone that ever hears his words, Lord. He's a blessing to me on this radio program. He's a blessing to many, many souls, Lord. I ask that I that you raise him up, Lord, and strengthen him, Lord, in his times when he feels like he needs something, Lord, more than what that there is. Father, right now, whatever is his heart's desire, Lord, I ask that you just bless him right now, Lord, and fulfill your promise that you made him, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Father, I thank you for Dr. Hunter, Lord, for everything he's doing for the ministry, that he's being able to reach the world with this radio program, that it will continue to prosper, Lord, that it will continue to grow, Lord, and that those who come on this air, Lord, that their words, your words will go forth, Lord, that it will continue, Lord, to prosper in everything, Lord. Just prosper him right now, that all of his financial needs are met for the radio program, that everything is taken care of. Just give him the knowledge and the understanding, Lord, that the care that he's put under your hands, Lord, that he doesn't have to take out, Lord, because it's been met. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hali, hali, hala, hali, hali, hala, hali. We praise God. We praise God. We praise God. We
praise
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight we have another brother coming with us, Evangelist Abraham Johnson. Are you there?
I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Sister Taylor, are you here? Sister Taylor, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. Yes, I'm. Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Want me to share a song? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I have the faith that sees the invisible, expects the incredible, to receive the impossible. That can conquer anything. Faith that uproots my problems. Faith to know that God can solve them. Faith to envision my freedom. I have faith that can conquer anything. Faith to reach the unreachable. Faith to fight the unbeatable. Faith to move the unmovable. Faith to stand the invincible. Faith that can conquer anything. That sees the invisible. Faith to receive the impossible. Faith that sees the invisible. Faith that withstands the invisible. Faith. Oh, that breeze, my problem.
Hallelujah.
That reach is unreachable faith, to fight the unbeatable faith, to receive the unreceivable faith. I have faith that conquers me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith to conquer anything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles tonight, then I want you to turn to Mark the 11th chapter. Thank you, Sister Taylor.
Praise God. Thank you.
Mark the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse, beginning with the 22nd verse. We're going to talk about faith on tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Faith. The Word of God said in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please God. So it means that I have to have faith in order to please God. God is a faith God. Amen? He created things by speaking them into existence. Abraham was a man of faith. He spoke those things that be not as though they are. And as believers, we're going to have to speak things into existence. Amen? So, Father, we just thank you for the word that's going forth. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood, the name, and we thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit. Now, Father God, I ask you, God, that you have your way within me. In the name of Jesus, I'll be so careful to give glory and honor and praise unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And verse 22, Mark 11:22 said, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. He said, have faith in God. And that's who we have to put our faith and confidence in, is in God. And look what he said, verse 23, say, verily, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, you see, my brothers and sisters, we are part of the whosoever. See, I can put my name there because I am part of the whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, and shall not doubt. Say to the mountain. Now, he's not talking about these mountains that we have around the country and Mount Ararat and all these different mountains. And, but he's talking to the problems and things that occur in your life. You can speak to them. You can speak to that the symptoms of diabetes. Hallelujah. You can speak to anxiety. You can speak to fear. But it has to be with faith.
Yes.
Like the lady with the issue of blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She spent all that she had. Didn't have no more money. Went from physician to physician, doctor to doctor. Hallelujah. But rather grew worse. But she heard that a man named Jesus was in town. That's hallelujah, paraphrasing. And she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She didn't say I might be made whole. She spoke it into existence. She spoke her healing into existence. She said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. Now, she was in the press. Matter of fact, she wasn't even supposed to be in that press because she, hallelujah, she was contaminated with that issue of blood. Blood flux going on in her body for 12 long years. Now, that was a miracle. That was a miracle in itself. Mm-hmm. Normally, we only have a few points of blood in our body. But she bled, she hemorrhaged for 12 long years and had enough strength to get to Jesus. She said, but if I may but touch the hem of his garment. She didn't speak doctor. She didn't speak doctor. She didn't say I went from doctor to doctor. She said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. I shall be made whole. And she was pressing, and people were storming against Jesus, and he said, somebody touch me. Mm-hmm. You see, he felt the touch of faith. Hallelujah. God don't feel worry and doubt and unbelief. He felt the touch of faith. And when she realized that she was healed, and she began to walk away. And he called her attention. He said, daughter, he didn't say he made her heal a whole. He said, daughter, your faith made you whole.
Yeah.
You see, it's not going to be somebody else's faith. You can get line after line after line after line, but guess what? Your faith have to line up with the one that's praying with you.
Oh, yes.
You say, daughter, your faith have made you whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm saying tonight, your faith is going to make you whole. Back in Mark the 11th chapter, and he said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Speak to some stuff that's going on in your life. Speak to some stuff that's going on in your relationship. Speak to some things that's going on in your family. Speak to some situations that's going on with your kids. Speak it into existence. We said, if be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and should not doubt, faith and doubt cannot live in the same house, in the same temple. Faith and fear cannot live in the same temple. Glory to God. Faith nullifies your fear. Fear nullifies your faith. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Do you believe on tonight that God is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think? That's all we are required to do is to believe.
Yes.
Hello, somebody. All we have to do is believe.
Indeed.
Let me show you this in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John the 6th chapter and the 28th through the 29th verse. The disciples came to Jesus in that 28th verse, John the 6th chapter, 28th verse. Then say they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Look what Jesus replied. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. That you believe. This is the work of God. That you believe on him who he has sent. In so many words, you say, believe in the Son of God. Believe in the Son of Man. Believe in the I am that I am. Believe in Alpha and Omega. Just believe in whom God has sent. He sent his only begotten Son. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And see, I don't know why the church, the body of Christ, like to condemn one another, but John 17, the verse 3-17 says, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. But, hallelujah, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save those that believe.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is believe. Faith is believing, having confidence, and trusting in God. Back to Mark 11 chapter, the 24th verse. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's so simple. Look what he said, when you pray, believe that you receive. Do you believe that you receive divine healing? Because the Word of God says, by his stripes you are healed. Beloved, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Do you believe when we pray? That's why God said, when we pray, say, pray his word to him. He watch over his word to perform his word. Give him his word back to him. And look what he said. His word would, in Isaiah 55th chapter, he said, his word will not come by voice. If we play God's word back to him, hallelujah, he honors his word. He watch over his word to perform it. Now look what he says. Therefore I say unto you, therefore I say unto you, Abraham, I can put my name there because I'm part of the whosoever. Therefore I say unto you, Abraham, what thing soever you, Abraham, desire. Mm-hmm. When you pray, Abraham, hallelujah, believe that you receive Abraham, then receive them, and you shall have them. When you say, okay, now watch, this is a prerequisite to receiving from God. When you stand praying, forgive. Hallelujah. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. And look what he said. When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, verse 25, that your Father also may, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. But you can put your butt in there now. Every time that, you know, we get to talking about the word of God and certain things there. But. See, this is the place you can really put your buddy in. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespass. Mm-hmm. The prerequisite for receiving anything from God is to examine oneself and see if there's any unforgiveness in your heart. That's just like when you make, we're making a meringue for a lemon pie. Hallelujah, Sandy, you're beating the eggs up. But if you get any drop of that egg yolk in there, it's not going to fluff up. Oh. I don't know why, but it's not going to, hallelujah. I used to always make meringue pies, glory to God. I didn't use the mixer. I used the fork and the, hallelujah, and the plate. Glory to God. And that thing fluff up so pretty. But if you get any kind of, that's what God is saying, you need to be not contaminated with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will stifle your prayers with God. Have faith in God. Trust in God. Rely in God. Depend upon him. Huh? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is anybody out there?
Amen.
All right. Amen. Thank you. I want to still get a feedback. Amen.
Yeah,
hallelujah. I want you to go and see something in the book of Hebrews. We better talk about this. But faith and the word goes together.
Okay.
And the word goes together. Look at Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and the second verse says, watch where it reads, for unto us was the gospel preached. The gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. As well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them us. Watch this. It did not profit them us today, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed to do enter unto rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter to my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Everything has been finished. Even when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished.
Finished.
Everything that we need in this life, my brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
in full faith.
Mm-hmm.
So the word says, we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
He said, the just shall live by faith.
Hallelujah.
We live by faith. We walk by faith.
Glory.
It's amazing that God put this in the Bible three times. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's in the Bible four times, I think it is. Amen?
Yes.
The just shall live. We live by faith.
Amen.
And then we say, well, you see, you can't take a capsule of a shot for faith and say, well, you can't even pray for, for faith. You said, you get in the line and say, what do you want me to pray for, my sister, my brother? I want to pray that God would give me more faith. I can't do that. You be honest with people. I can't do that then. Romans 10:17 tells you how faith comes. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. That's the only way that you can receive faith. You can anoint somebody's hand with a whole can of oil. The faith is not going to come until they believe the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Corinthians. Let me go to Romans 12 right quick. We know the see, our mind has to be renewed. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is in reason, which is reason, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Metamorphosis, a change. A caterpillar goes into a cocoon, hallelujah, as a caterpillar, but when he comes out, hallelujah, glory to God, he comes out a beautiful butterfly. Metamorphosis, a change. But the third verse, look what the third verse says. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Each and every one of us, my brothers, were dealt a measure of faith. But it's according to you what you do with that measure that God gave you. Some people still hanging on to the measure. Hallelujah. God wants our faith to increase. We are faith people. Abraham, glory to God, the father of nations, he spoke those things that be not as though they are. Speak some things into your life by faith. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Speak it into your life. Speak it. Hallelujah. Whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, even healing, speak some things into your life. Believe it.
Hallelujah.
Believe the word. Stand on the word. Hallelujah. Trust the
Hallelujah.
Word. Rely on the word of God. Fully relying on God's word. Glory to God. Let the Bible study on this afternoon, and that's what the message is. F-O-R-G, fog. He's not talking about an amphibian, but he's talking about fully relying on God. That's what the topic is about. Said, but it says fog, F-O-R-G. But we're saying fully relying on God. Fully trusting in him. Shadrach and Abednego, they relied on God before they was cast into the fire furnace. Before these circumstances and trials come upon you, saying, believe God is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Then he says, to God be the glory.
Yes.
And you know, tonight, all we have to do is trust in God.
Yes.
I don't care what comes up. I don't care what go down. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him. For he cares for you. Hallelujah. And I tell them, I told them today, at Vacation Bible School, I said, I don't have a care in the world. You're looking at me, sir, moving the eyebrows and everything. I say, why? Because the word of God said, years ago, 37 years ago, I studied scripture in the Bible, and I took it off the pages and I put it into my spirit. 1 Peter 5:7 said, cast in all your cares. Is your family your cares? Your kids your cares? Hallelujah. That's your care. Hallelujah. Whatever your cares may be, give it to God. He's much able to handle it than we are. That means we don't have to worry about anything. That means we can sleep good. Hallelujah. Will you give it to God? Hallelujah. It's nothing too hard for God.
Hallelujah.
It's impossible to them that believe. Just believe. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
With no doubt. James said, hallelujah, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and he cannot please God. And then he said, look what James said. Come for joy, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into divers temptation. knowing this, right here, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You say you have faith, your faith will be tested. Bottom line. You say you have faith, your faith is going to be on trial. But James said, count it all joy. As I close tonight, James said, count it all joy. Hallelujah. When you fall into diverse temptation, and this, hallelujah, knowing this, I know this, without a shadow of a doubt, that my faith is going to be on trial. My faith is going to be tested. But when my faith is tested, I stay on the word of God. For Jesus said when he was tested by the enemy, he said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Just believe. Just trust. Just rely upon him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own. Understand it. He said, in all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Hallelujah. In these last days, we need direction. We need guidance. And therefore, that's where the Holy Spirit step in, because he's going to lead us and guide us unto all truth. In the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Sister Taylor, have your way. Sister Taylor, thank you,
God. It's going to rain. It'll be all over in the morning. There's a fear of nightfall when darkness comes and covers all the day. Sometimes we feel pain, but there are things that we can change. Just pray, pray. Ain't no need of worrying what the night is gonna bring. It'll be all over in the morning. In the morning, in the morning. It'll be all over in the morning. Oh, in the morning, it'll be all over in the morning.
Amen. It'll be all over in the morning. I like what the psalmist said, that we may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
In the morning.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank God. Hallelujah. We thank God. Hallelujah. We thank God tonight. We're back in the hands. Hallelujah. Saying glory to God of the man of God. Hallelujah. Saying doctors and Dr. Hunter. Dr. Hunter. Hello.
I'm here. I hear you.
Oh, it's good. Yes, back in your hands, sir.
Okay, one thing I want to say tonight has been a blessed night. And I know that today has been a day that everybody has been on this radio station. You have been tried. You have been tried. The enemy has come in and tried you at every direction. But your faith has exonerated you to where you are right now. As I was going through the scriptures, as I was reading the scriptures, I was reading what God said to one of his great servants. And God said to Solomon, because thou hast in thine heart, and thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, or honor. Now the life of the enemies, neither yet has asked long life. Somebody said long life.
Long life.
That's what we want. And that's, but he asked for wisdom and knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. We need wisdom and knowledge.
Amen.
And understanding. God will show us the way how we got to do some things. And, beloved, I will say to you tonight, it's been a great night for me. So tonight I want to just say these words. The Lord has been so good to me, more than you can ever think or dream of. God has done to me. And to me. Mm-hmm. And the more I depend upon him, I'm finding myself more going off to, like my brother said earlier, Dr. Newsom said, spending some quality time with God.
Yes.
Be silent. Let God speak. And when God begins to speak to me, it becomes unraveled. And all I'm saying to you, beloved, tonight, somebody is listening tonight, God has a blessing for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
God has a blessing for you. See, everybody, see, let me tell you something. When God gives you quality time on the radio, take charge of it. Listen to somebody else. Because God, I'm going to tell you one of the ladies, A. Royal, when she comes on a Monday night and give a word, I listen to the word people are saying. I got about a whole lot of people. But I listen because I want to hear what God is saying. And
amen.
I say to us, we got to start praying one for another.
Yes.
We got to start saying we take authority over all that the enemy has done.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got to take no second seat. No, I'm not taking no. See, the devil is doing everything he can right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get this time where we can all maturate at the same time and see what the enemy is trying to do to the body of Christ. I was reading about in Houston, the mayor has told the ministers, is there anything I can help you with? Okay, ministers, you talking to the mayor. Mayor can't do only financial things, but you should be seeking the spiritual things of God.
That's right.
The spiritual things of God. Because right now, it's not going to be money, but you heard what he said, long life. Your enemy, that's for your enemy. Your enemy might die right before you. See, and God is going to judge his people. He said
that's
He's made us kings. So if anybody got a prayer request or a statement, I open this line up to you before we get up there. God bless you. Anybody? Praise God. Amen. Well, I know as much. We just want to thank God. As I always say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So until the next time, God bless you. Amen.
Amen.